Could you bow your heads, please? Father, without you, this is not going to work. So we're going to do it with you. Guide the words. Guide the instructions that you have given me. Give ears and eyes and an understanding heart for all those who listen to this word so that it'll come alive in them. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I kept hearing over and over the word. And even as we started at 10 this morning, we shared a little bit about how the word is alive in us. How the word comes to life through us. And now I'd like you to come with me to 1 John chapter 1. I want to take you to verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The concentration I want is word, W-O-R-D. The word of life is Christ. I want to remind you that the word was a reality in Christ Jesus, the anointed one, chosen by God to reveal his nature, to reveal the Father's nature. And verse 2 says, the life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was from the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Now, recognizing that the Word was manifest and it started as a seed inside of Mary, and for 9 months, she certainly had the experience of growth, maturing, process. Every single family who have ever had children and watched a pregnant woman, she had to have a seed. That seed starts with very, very small manifestation. Yet in a few weeks, you know what that seed is going to produce. It's going to produce life. Now, you say, well, there's interference sometimes, and there's hardships, and there's difficulties. Yes. But the Sovereign Father has a plan with every seed. And inside that seed is a growth potential. Now, when the Word came into me, I was 27. Now, you say, well, I was brought up in religion. I knew about the Word. But I didn't understand. That was the beginning of understanding at 27. The religious concepts were good. There was a beginning. There was a foundation. I knew about God. But that was the moment when I chose to say, okay, I want more. That Word came into me and began to grow. That Word was my commitment to letting Jesus, the eternal Word, come and have a home inside my heart. Now, you say, well, in 9 months, Mary gave birth. I can tell you that it took 10 years for the next level. In my experience. Now, I'm not saying that it took everybody else 10 years. I'm talking about me. If I would have given up, the hardships were increasing. the difficulties ever visible, but I continued to go into the Word and to try to go and understand what he was trying to do with me. Now in verse 14, I want you to take a peek. 1 John 2:14. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives. The word of God lives. Where? In you. So the word is alive in each and every single believer. What do you do to nourish it? How do you manifest the next level? How does it grow? How do you hear? How do you see? How do you speak? As a spiritual person. When Jesus was 13, or roughly thereof, he spoke to the leaders of Israel with great wisdom, unknown and misunderstood. They were baffled. Where did he get this knowledge? Why? Because he wasn't from the natural realm. He came out of the realm of the Father. And he was down here in the earth to manifest the Father's love, to manifest the Father's abilities, and to manifest his quest to be known by God and to be known by man. See, it was a quest for God to reveal himself through his Son. Now, you say, well, Moses had knowledge. Yes, he did. But there was a greater one. And it's the same thing with you and I. Those first 10 years, they were, you know, wonderful in a sense. But did I understand my spirit reality? No. I can truthfully say, if you would have said to me, how many parts are there to you? I would have said soul and body. Because that's what I was taught. But then all of a sudden, 10 years down the road, a friend of mine moves back east from California and introduces me to the Holy Ghost. Now, I can tell you that even as a teenager, in a conference that was brought by a gentleman, a priest, in Vermont, he came to St. Sylvester's, because that's where I was, believe it or not, St. Sylvester's, that's where I went to Catholic education, okay, in Graniteville, Vermont, next to the Rock of Ages quarry. I used to walk by the Rock of Ages every single day. And St. Sylvester's had this wonderful man came over and he spoke to us about the forgotten God. And I really, you know, I remembered that. Why was he teaching about the forgotten God? He said, everybody knows the Father. Everybody knows the Son. But what about the Holy Spirit? And he taught for a weekend on the Holy Spirit. Were those seeds of life coming into me? Absolutely. Because I never forgot it. He was really the forgotten God. And of course, if you were brought up in the Roman Catholic Church, you knew how to say it in the name of the Father and of the Son. And of course, your two shoulders happen to be the Holy Spirit. I don't know why they split him, but they do. Okay? And so, he taught us the name of the Father and of the Son. The Son is right in your tummy. I never understood that for a long time. But then the Lord said, when you asked me to come in, where did I go? Into your spirit. So in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, your spirit man, and of course the shoulders is where you carry all your weight. Yes? So even in these little signals, I was awakening to the reality that there was a forgotten God. He happened to be on my shoulders. He was the weight of the Father trying to awaken in me that there was more to life than I understood. But But the reality of the Word being inside of me was not a reality until the Holy Ghost came in. Now, when the Holy Ghost came in, you all know the story. I'm not going to repeat it all. But I am saying I needed to understand that the Word is growing inside of me. I can remember the manifestation of the tongues. Wow, my spirit has an ability to speak. That was an awakening. That was okay. If I can speak, and I look at that as I looked at my own children, because at that time my son was 16, the oldest one. And I remember sitting with Ray, and we're having a discussion, and he says, Kim, it starts like a baby. So, when you start like a baby. What's the next level after you babble? You try to walk. You hear. You feed yourself. You talk. What else do you do? Take instruction reluctantly. Take instruction reluctantly. There's not a kid in the world that's born with a submissive mind and a submissive heart, 110%. They all have attitude. Why? Because they're individuals. As I began to understand, now my growth pattern was the same. My spirit man would begin to be able to hear. My spirit man would be able to manifest the word of the Lord out in the air, out in the open, to those that I would minister to. Did I start ministering right away? You're absolutely right. I got baptized in the Holy Ghost right about this time. And I remember in April 23rd, we had our first prayer meeting. Yeah. And this week, I ran into something that I probably should have brought because it's twice now that it comes back into my vision. In 1988, the Lord gave me a letter, a personal letter. How many know that the Holy Spirit can make you write? And when you write under His anointing, it's quite revelatory. In 1988, He made me write a letter to myself. And I still have it. And I ran across it this week. And that letter says that I would have to leave the Roman Church, which I didn't want to. I was very comfortable where I was brought up. A lot of comfort there. It was a place that I enjoyed being at. And I enjoyed my brothers and sisters in Christ. I enjoyed watching the Holy Ghost come to life in these that are. By the 88, the prayer group had actually been in existence for 11 years. And there were hundreds and hundreds that were born again and spirit-filled and healed and delivered. We irritated the enemy so much that the enemy tried to burn down the building, and he did. Yeah. He succeeded in burning down the church, getting the tabernacle stolen, and the elements in the tabernacle were used. And I won't go there. But I'm trying to tell you something. I'm trying to awaken in you a reality. Wherever and however God started with you, He's got a plan to finish you. And He's going to do a mighty work, a lot better than you and me could ever do on our own. All this to bring you to Psalms 33. Why am I taking you to Psalms 33? Because that's where He took me. He took me there this past week, and He took me again this morning. He says, I want you to read that again. And I said, okay, Lord. These are instructions. Verse 1, sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. Are you righteous? Yes, you are, because of the blood of the Lamb. There's no sin in you. It's done and dealt with. It is fitting for the upright to praise Him. So the upright has the job of praising the Father. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 2, praise the Lord with the harp, with make music to Him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to Him a new song, play skillfully, and shout for joy. Don't tell anybody that you are supposed to shout for joy. After all, you're supposed to be holy. Now, I remember being in church, having a giggles fit, because my cousin came to visit. Okay? And we were sitting in the front pew in front of St. Joseph. And guess what? We started comparing his whiskers. I mean, you know, here he was, a little with whiskers, you know. And of course, in the 1950s, there was not very many men around with whiskers. And we looked at each other, and I don't think there was more than three words that were spoken, but we giggled all during Mass. So I was commissioned by the Sister Superior that I was to write down 100 times, I shall not laugh in church. Well, if I would have known Psalm 33, I probably would have given her a response. Thank God I didn't, but I did get to do the homework. I wanted my dad to sign his name on a blank piece of paper after 100 lines had been, but guess what he said? Uh-uh. He read right through my act. He had discernment. Yeah. And I was 12 years old. So I knew what I was doing. Now, come on, you guys are so perfect. Did you guys ever try to trick your dad or your mom?
Yeah.
Thank you. You're normal. Verse 4 is where I'm taking you. Verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all He does. For who the word of the Lord that lives inside of me, He is faithful and all He does. Whoa! Have you ever considered that He's alive in you, in His Word? That's what I'm hoping that you'll understand this morning. Verse 5. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of His unfailing love. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Isn't that awesome? Their starry hosts by the breath of His mouth. This is the power you have within you. This is the power that created the whole of the universe, living inside of who? You and me. Watch verse 7. The word gathers the waters of the sea into jars. Are you not earthen vessels? Are you not jars of clay? Look at where the word is. He's inside of me and you. He's exciting because He's got abilities to create. Uh-huh. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere Him. How? When He sees the living light and the word that's inside of you, flowing out of you, they get what? Awed at your ability. For He spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. Ha ha! He thwarts the purposes of the people. But the plan of the Lord stands firm. Part time. Oh, it's a misprint? The plan of the Lord stands firm forever. The purpose of His heart through all generations. It doesn't stop. It continues. After you and me, He's going to take the next generation. After the next generation, He'll use the next generation until He gets everything accomplished according to His plan. Verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The people He chose for his inheritance. Notice, he chose, not you doing the choosing. He chose. For the heavens, from heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. All, not some. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. He, who is he? The Word. The Word who forms my heart and all and considers everything that I do. Isn't that awesome? Verse 16. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him and on those whose hope is in his unfailing love. Unfailing. Cannot fail. To deliver them from death, to keep them alive in famine, to wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name, and may your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. That's a mouthful. It's a choice we make to put our hope in him. It's a choice that we activate when we speak the word instead of our emotions. When you don't feel well and your mind and your brain and your body's misbehaving, you declare, by his stripes I was healed. What are you doing? You're declaring 1 Peter 2:24. Why? Because your body's misbehaving. Your body's under attack. Whatever's going on, it needs what? Deliverance. How do you get deliverance? You declare the word. Where is the word? It's within you. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Is there a challenge I can't handle? Absolutely not. If the challenge is before me, I can do it. Yes. If the challenge is before me, I can do it. How? Through the word that's inside of me. Now, if you say, oh, I'm hopeless, there's no way. What have you just done? Whose confession are you going to be? His or your enemy? Are you going to declare what you feel in your brain or what you've learned over the years? Well, everybody that goes down this road constantly fails, so I'm not going down this road. God could send you down that road on purpose. Why? To baffle the wise. It's never been done before. I got a picture in my brain back when I was a teenager. Okay? Robert Schuller hired people to create a church that would be see-through. And they told him, it can't be done. The Crystal Cathedral, I've never seen. Now, some friends of mine have been there, and they told me it was intense, and it was awesome. I've never been there, but I've seen it on TV. And you know what? God said to this man, do it. God was the living word inside of him to say, go ahead, do it. Guess where Robert Schuller started his ministry? A drive-in theater. I mean, yay for this man. He started with what? Nothing. And out of nothing, he created what God was expecting him to do. Is it my challenge? Absolutely not. It's not my challenge. It was his challenge to obey the word and get it carried out. Put your Bible down.
Would you do me a favor? Would you rise, please?
Okay, Maria. Find a person that you can eyeball right now. Okay? That's right. Two or three. You got a partner coming. Good news. Are you ready?
Ready.
Come forward. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I know that you're alive inside of me.
I know that you're alive inside of me.
And you're fire.
And you're fire.
You're in the living water.
You're the living water.
You are my life.
You are the Word.
Fully alive.
Fully alive.
Ready to manifest.
So when I go home today,
I'm not going to be normal.
I'm going to be
more than enough.
For every need that comes my way.
I'm excited, Father.
I'm
pregnant with your Son.
More of Him is coming alive
than ever before.
I feel His fire.
I feel His living water.
And I'm expecting
new birth.
In all that I pray for.
Every area of my life.
Every area of my family.
Touching every one of them.
Touching my body first.
With healing.
Deliverance.
Recreation.
Resurrection.
Right now.
Right now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.